KSDP 830 AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
Not long ago, MJ Lenderman was working at an ice cream shop. Now he's being profiled by GQ and the New York Times, with his latest album, Manning Fireworks, being called one of the best of last year. And that's great, but like he says, it's also a lot, especially when you're trying to write songs.
It's just confusing at times to see, like, you know, what people attach to. I don't want to write towards that now that this version of myself has been created by fans or the internet or whoever. I want to stay as true to myself as possible.
Coming up, Lenderman talks about creativity, songwriting, and staying true to himself, and what helps him to do that, like reading the work of Southern authors like Harry Cruz.
But one thing I did learn about from them is writing from your own perspective and writing about the things that you do know about, and that's a good way to be a convincing writer.
MJ Lenderman, an interview and live performance today. I'm Raina Duras. This is an Encore World Cafe. Before you get to MJ Lenderman, a couple of songs for you, beginning with this collaboration from Andrew Bird and Madison Cunningham, doing their interpretation of Crying in the Night, originally by Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham.
She was there. Depend on, and you're all alone. She's the only one
who can come take you far away and take your breath away.
But she'll leave you crying in the night. She's gonna leave you crying in the night. Yes, she's gonna leave you crying in the night. She's back. Tarnished pearl, she'll take your money, she'll wreck your world, wreck your world.
And she'll
leave you crying in the night. She's gonna leave you crying in the night. She's gonna leave you crying in the night. She's gonna leave you crying in the night. She's back.
Thank you.
help you out, but I cannot.
Hey there, boy in blue, I think there's something wrong with you. I wish that I could help you out, but I cannot.
I'm going down when nobody knows me. I'm going down when nobody knows me. I'm going down, ain't nobody gonna know me.
This is an Encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. In a world full of distractions, MJ Lenderman is paying attention. You can hear it in his lyrics, images, references, things that might simply be in the background to most people become almost profound in his songwriting, expressing much bigger ideas and feelings that lurk underneath the surface of daily life. It's a kind of storytelling that Lenderman, who also plays in the band Wednesday, started gaining recognition for when he released his last album, 2022's Boat Songs. And he's mastering that storytelling on his latest record, Manning Fireworks. The album was hailed as one of the best of 2024 by music critics. And today, MJ Lenderman joins me to talk about the album, about how he started making music, about his hometown of Asheville, North Carolina, and how he stays creative instead of getting sucked into distractions. Our conversation is coming up, but first, a live performance of the title track to Manning Fireworks, recorded live for the World Cafe. This is MJ Lenderman.
Birds against a heavy wind that wins in the end. One of these days, with shorts full of sand. One of these days, you'll kill a man for asking a question you don't understand. Some have passion, some have purpose. You have sneaking backstage to hound the girls in the circus. Open the Bible in a public place. Open the Bible to the very first page. One of these days, it will all end. You're tired. Come lately, you've been high on the hog, and the dog seems to hate you. You once was a baby, and now a jerk, standing close to the pyre, manning fireworks. Once a perfect little baby, who's now a jerk, standing close to the fire, manning fireworks.
Performing live for the World Cafe, that was MJ Lenderman with the title track from his latest album, Manning Fireworks. I'm Raina Duris. MJ Lenderman is my guest today. Welcome to the World Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. There's a lyric in that song that immediately caught my ear, and that was, "You once was a baby and now a jerk."
And that is something that I always think about when I see like bad people doing bad things, like, you know, someone powerful, a public figure doing awful stuff. And you're like, how could you be so cruel? And then I think about how they were once like a little tiny baby that someone loved and took care of. And they were once a perfect baby. Could you talk about writing that line?
You know, I was thinking about the same things you just mentioned, just the difference of innocence. And then, you know, how do we get to this point of being a jerk or having control of things and abusing power, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. It also kind of gives you like a little bit of empathy even for awful people when you imagine them as a tiny little baby. I know that was one of the last songs that you wrote for the album. Why did it end up being the first song and the title track?
I didn't have the title of the album yet, so I wrote that song later on. I think it's easier to kind of write towards some sort of abstract theme or whatever once all the other songs are there. And so I just liked that lyric at the end of the song. And as soon as I wrote it, I knew it was going to be the first track. I thought it would be like a nice welcome into this record. But I think I liked the two words together because on their own, it sounds kind of like a place.
Yeah. Well, the first time I like listened to the record, that's what I thought it meant. I was like, where's Manning?
I think it's there is actually a real place in South Carolina. I learned once I started doing interviews for the record, people were asking me if it's a fireworks store there. And I'm like, honestly, probably. There probably is one, but that's not what I was writing about.
You recorded Manning Fireworks at a Drop of Sun studio in Asheville, North Carolina. That is where you're from. And I should say that we are taping this interview almost exactly a month after Hurricane Helene devastated the area with flooding. So the first thing I want to ask you is, how is your family? How are your friends?
My friends and family are, I think we're all pretty lucky. No serious, like, nobody got hurt or any like serious property damage or anything. But nobody has clean water yet still, even at home. And I think electricity's finally back, but it's devastating. Nobody was really prepared for it. And that scene too, a lot of people ask us about it because I guess we're getting a lot of visibility and stuff, but it's always been there, I think, for a long time, but it's cool that, you know, people have eyes on it now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm speaking to MJ Lenderman on World Cafe. So how did you first pick up a guitar? Tell us that story.
Well, Guitar Hero was a very popular game when I was a kid, and me and my best friend got really good at that, and we kind of, you know, hit the ceiling with as far as you can go with Guitar Hero. So we decided to pick up real guitars, and luckily our parents got us lessons and a couple of small acoustic guitars. And so that was probably when I was 8 years old.
Is there a song still that when you hear it, you just think of Guitar Hero?
Yeah. I mean, Bark at the Moon, that was one that's always been stuck in my head for some reason. I don't know why. Whenever I have to wake up early, that's the first song that comes to my head. And I don't think I've ever listened to it outside of the video game.
You just heard Ozzy Osbourne's Bark of the Moon, chosen by my guest today, MJ Lenderman, who has a song of the same name on his new album, Manning Fireworks. When did you start writing your own songs?
Probably, I think, my first song I wrote with music and lyrics was my freshman year of high school. So I was probably 14.
Do you remember what it was about?
It was called Nightmare. I don't think it was really about anything, though. It's just kind of...
Do you remember any of the lyrics?
No.
Well, okay, let's fast forward a little bit. I really wish that we had Nightmares somewhere. If you ever dig it up, send it our way.
Nope.
Nope, absolutely not. If we fast forward a bit, I do want to talk about what seemed like kind of a formative time in Asheville for you. When COVID hit, I mean, and I think we can acknowledge, like, COVID wasn't a great time for everyone, obviously, but there were some silver linings in the way that the world changed for a little while, and you were getting unemployment. You got to really embrace being a musician, kind of living without the routine of having to go to a job. How did that time shape you?
You know, although it was bad in a lot of ways, I'm thankful for having the time and space to focus all my energy towards writing music and creating music and reading and just trying to get better at all that stuff, and just being around good friends who are also creative people, such as my drummer Colin Miller and Carly from Wednesday. And yeah, it was just a very like creative house that we lived in. I feel like everybody was always making stuff, and sometimes we do it together, sometimes, you know, we do it separately, but it felt like there was some good creative energy in the house.
Yeah. You're going to perform another one from Manning Fireworks for us now, and it's a song that I think might have one of the best opening lines of any song that I've heard all year. It's evocative, it is heartbreaking, it's funny, it really paints a picture, and that line is, "You can put your clothes back on, she's leaving you." How do you think about opening lines when you are writing a song? What should an opening lyric do?
Yeah, I think it should be all those things you just said, and I think it should really set up the rest of the song. That one, it doesn't always happen this way, but that line I did write first, and the rest of the song came pretty easy after that. You know, sometimes it's good, like with most songs that I start, starts with something that makes me laugh, too.
Here's She's Leaving You, performed live by MJ Lenderman on World Cafe.
Thank you.
performed live for the World Cafe by MJ Lenderman. That was She's Leaving You, a song from his latest album, Manning Fireworks. My conversation with MJ Lenderman continues in a moment. He talks about reading for inspiration. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to an Encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. One of my favorite albums of last year was Manning Fireworks by MJ Lenderman. And today, you're hearing my conversation with him. You've said that reading is one of those things that helps you stay like in a creative zone and keep your creativity up and running. Why do you think that is?
Being able to see how people use words. But it also is just like very active for your brain. And I think it's, you know, it's easy to get sucked into looking at my phone a lot and just taking in a lot of information that doesn't really necessarily mean anything to me. So reading helps out a lot with concepts and stuff too. That's another way I've learned how to like incorporate humor into the music and still make it sound real, like a real song or something.
Yeah. Who were you reading while you were working on this?
We were talking about Harry Cruz earlier, and that's a big one for me. Especially over COVID, I learned about him and read almost everything he's written, and that was super inspiring. And Larry Brown, too, is a great writer from Mississippi. Richard Brodigan.
Oh, yeah.
Also very funny.
Yeah.
But super simple.
Yeah.
So I like stuff like that.
Harry Cruz, Larry Brown, there's a few different authors I've seen you talk about that are from the South. Harry Cruz was born in Georgia. Larry Brown's from Mississippi. You're from North Carolina. In your mind, is there something characteristic about a Southern voice? Are there commonalities you've noticed or a sensibility to that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the things that I can personally relate to is maybe the simplicity of the language. But I don't necessarily want to make it seem like I'm writing like these guys. I think they write from their perspective, and it's a very different world, even though we are in the South. North Carolina is very different from Mississippi, especially back in the 80s when Larry Brown was writing, or Georgia and Florida when Harry Cruz was there. But one thing I did learn about from them is writing from your own perspective and writing about the things that you do know about. And that's a good way to be convincing writer.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to talk to you about that, because you do very clearly write from your perspective. Even when you're writing a character, there are things that feel very true to you, and you make references throughout the album to things that could only really exist right now. Things like Lightning McQueen from the movie Cars, things like John Travolta's bald head, the video game Guitar Hero that we talked about earlier. And I always think it's very interesting when songwriters work that sort of stuff into their writing. Especially like modern things, because I always think of the comparison, like a letter sounds more romantic than an email. But if you can work in an email and not make it sound jarring, and you don't lose the feeling of the song, that's really impressive. And I think you do that really well. When you are writing, how do you make those references feel natural? Like what are you thinking about?
I mean, yeah, I think it's like a rejection of trying to sound over romantic or something. Like I don't think I've ever written a letter before, you know, for example. So like, it just comes back to bringing it down to earth in a way. And I guess having the dichotomy of like something that everybody has a reference point towards, or like an invention that I made up or something like that, like the Himbo Dome.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to Himbo Dome in a minute. But first we're actually going to hear you perform Wristwatch for us. Before we hear it, could you tell us about the character or the narrator of this song?
Yeah, this one started with the opening line again, which was a misquote from, I guess it's by Slade, but I know the Quiet Riot version of Come On, Feel the Noise. And so you say I got a funny face, it makes me money. But that's not actually the real lyric from that song, so I used it and tried to think about who...
Wait, what is the real lyric? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, so I was like, who's going to be saying something like that, or who would feel that way? And I think I was thinking about like these comedy podcasts, like there's one called The Fighter and the Kid with this guy Brandon Schaub, and he's like a failed comedian, failed UFC fighter, but still just going for the money. And like so I was just kind of interested in that kind of character.
This is Wristwatch from MJ Lenderman, live for World Cafe.
So you say I've got a funny face.
Live for the World Cafe, MJ Lenderman with Wristwatch from his latest album, Manning Fireworks. I'm Raina Duras. MJ Lenderman is my guest today. So you did coin a new term in that song, himbo dome. And I know that a himbo is like a male bimbo, I think is how it's traditionally been used. But there's a whole thread on your subreddit. I think that was about a month ago. Somebody was like, what does this mean? And there's like a ton of people who commented on it asking what it is. So do you want to help them out or do you want to keep it a mystery?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I have a picture that comes to mind when I say that, but it's not, you know, a real place, obviously, but I'll let people let the mystery be.
Can you give us a hint to what it looks like in your mind?
It's a dome.
It's a dome. Oh, a dome, of course. There we go. Mystery solved. I don't know if you look at your own subreddit, because I know that you don't run your own social media and you kind of try to stay offline in that way, like most of the time. What was behind the choice to let somebody else take care of that stuff?
I think it just felt distracting to me, and I still, you know, somehow figure out how to distract myself online other ways, but like I just wanted to try to cultivate some sort of space in my life to where I didn't have to like use the socials, so I don't have to see how people are perceiving what I'm doing, and I can just focus on moving forward and trying to get better at writing and stuff like that.
Is that something that you found yourself doing before? Like looking at reading the press, as they say?
Yeah, in certain ways. And, you know, a lot of it's even good stuff too. So it's just confusing at times to see like, you know, what people attach to. I don't want to right towards that.
Yeah.
Now that this version of myself has been created by fans or the internet or whoever, I want to stay as true to myself as possible.
Yeah. You know, no matter where you go, take the subway or whatever, everybody's on their phone. A lull in conversation. Sometimes people like check their phone, and it never lets your mind rest or go off and do its own thing. But like the temptation is strong to not like to pick that up. Like, how do you resist that? What do you do to stop yourself?
Well, I mean, I would like to say I was better at it, but I still am liable to pick up my phone at quiet moments and even look at X or Twitter or whatever, and or look at Reddit for a while. I ended up deleting Reddit.
But, you know, there is something to be gained from looking up and looking around you. And you seem in your songwriting to be somebody who observes things. Have you found that maybe spending less time on social media or, like, going to your phone has changed your songwriting?
Well, yeah, I think it maybe helps with focus and stuff. And I think also you could be an observer looking at social media and stuff too, that's also possible. But it's hard to take in that much information for me. And so I think looking up more, looking around me and stuff, maybe a healthier way to do it.
I'm speaking with MJ Lenderman on World Cafe. My name is Raina Duras. When you were younger, for a little while, you thought you might become a priest. And you can hear that Catholic upbringing throughout the album. First off, it is one thing to be Catholic. It is another much more intense thing to be like, okay, I want to be a priest. Why was that something that appealed to you?
That was kind of only something I really thought about up until like maybe the sixth grade. And to me at the time, it just seemed like the easiest course of life, because I was already in Catholic school, I was already an altar boy, and all that was just like, you know, planned out. It would, you know, require going to extra school and stuff, but I could, like, you know, they buy you a house and stuff, so
Yeah, it's like you get on a track and you're good to go.
Yeah, but that was, I guess, before puberty.
Mm-hmm. And their mind changed. I mean, religion can be pretty all-encompassing, and you grow up in the South where, you know, pretty well known for being a fairly religious place. How has that informed you as an artist?
I think it's just like, you know, the life I grew up in, so it's just what I know. And so it's naturally going to find its way into my songs.
Yeah. The last song that we're going to hear you perform is called On My Knees. And it is easy to think of prayer when you hear that phrase. This one, and again, I don't want to assume anything about what you're writing about, but it sounds like it may be more personal. It seems like a song that's written by someone who's up all night and would love to go to sleep. I'm curious, where were you when you wrote this song?
I was at home. I think this one took kind of a while to figure out, and I think I wanted to write something more third person, but ended up having a moment where I realized it'd make a lot more sense if I talked about, you know, my own feelings and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good insight onto the song.
Yeah, the birds in the morning sounds like a nice sound, but there is nothing more sinister on earth if you haven't slept than the sound of birds chirping outside.
Yeah, for sure. There's a Tim Heidecker song from What the Broken Hearted Do, I think, called When I Get Up, All I Want to Do Is Go to Bed Again. And there's a lyric about how the birds are not my friends. They're, you know, or in like Werner Herzog would say, like, the birds are not singing, they're screaming.
This is On My Knees. It's MJ Lenderman live for the World Cafe. Wet dreams. MJ Lenderman performing live for the World Cafe. That song is called On My Knees. It's from his new album, Manning Fireworks. That album is out now. MJ Lenderman's my guest today. Thank you so much for being here. This is really fun.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard my conversation with MJ Lenderman talking about Manning Fireworks, one of my personal favorite albums of last year. We wanted to go back to that one since he's heading back out on tour at the end of this month. You can see video of that session and the whole interview at worldcafe.org, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/worldcafe. Here's Japanese Breakfast. Be sweet.
Be sweet to me, baby. I want. Waiting for your love, you in all the ways. another place. All I'm thinking of, just can't get enough.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Schumigan Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Schumigan family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Schumigan Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.schumigan.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Schumigan Corporation. Hometown values and service. A proud sponsor of KSDP.
Loving you. maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you, dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty, guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do?